Well, why are we singing about alcohol at church?
I don't know.
I'm going to tell you. All right. Brad Paisley wrote that song, and he performed that song originally. If you want to find it, it's available anywhere music is found. It's called Alcohol. It's a great song. But here's the thing about that song. It makes alcohol sound really cool. Yeah, I got you in trouble in high school, college, that was a ball. And, you know, it makes you feel pretty, makes you believe any lie, makes you pick a fight with somebody twice your size, it's, you know, cause breakups, cause births, all sometimes good things, sometimes bad things, depending on the circumstances. But, man, alcohol is a part of the world that we live in. So here's why we're talking about it in church. I'm going to give you three reasons, okay? And feel free, I see some people, feel free to fan yourself. The AC is broken, and it's summer shoreline. And so, hey, fan yourself, cool off, but you're going to be locked in here for about 30 minutes because you're going to learn something that I promise will be really helpful for you, okay? Here's why we're talking about alcohol. Alcohol is everywhere. Alcohol is powerful, and alcohol can be confusing. Now, here's what I mean by alcohol is everywhere. It's on the radio in songs like Alcohol by Brad Paisley. It's on almost every other commercial that you watch. It's on billboards. It is involved in the plans of your friends for this weekend. It's what is talked about in the halls of your school, in the classrooms of your school, in the messages that are sent. Who got drunk? Who did this? How hammered did you get this weekend? Alcohol is everywhere. Alcohol is even in this group, in this room, right now. You know, I went to lunch with a couple of students that were involved in Watermark Student Ministry. There was a day that school was off, and I said, hey, let's get some guys together and let's go to lunch. And here's a picture of how one of the guys showed up to lunch. First of all, you don't wear a tank top when you go out to lunch. Second of all, you don't wear a Corona Extra tank top when you go to lunch with your youth pastor. But Brandon did. This is Brandon Galvan. He's graduated. He's off living his life now. But this is what Brandon, like, alcohol is everywhere. It's on the shirts in your youth group. Alcohol is all over the place, and it's powerful. Think about the lyrics of that song, the effect that alcohol can have on people's lives. It can make you feel pretty. It can make you believe lies, make you pick fights. It can cause breakups, bursts. It can make you new friends. It can get you fired from work. It can influence kings and world leaders. It helped Ernest Hemingway write like he did. It could make you put a lampshade on your head. Alcohol changes things. Whether you think it's good or bad, alcohol has the power to make changes to people's lives. And it can have powerful impacts and devastating consequences. There can be things that people perceive are really good products of alcohol and really bad, but whether or not they're really good or really bad, alcohol always has an impact. Alcohol has destroyed families. It is powerful. And it's everywhere, and it's also confusing. I brought this bag up here, because I didn't want you to see what I had, but I had a, yeah, listen to the gasps, right? It's confusing, because I have a Bud Light, and I'm 39 years old. The legal drinking age in Texas right now is 21, and I could drink this whole thing. I could sit here and chug this whole thing right now. And I wouldn't, how much? I could drink the whole thing right now and not get drunk. So here's how this is confusing. It's not illegal. It wouldn't cause me to get drunk or do anything destructive. And yet, I didn't ask anyone to do this. When I pulled it out, there were gasps. When I opened it, there were gasps. There were people saying, don't do it. No, don't do it. Like, there's some sort of tension in the room when there's an open beer in the pastor's hand at church. But isn't that tension confusing? Like, think about this. What's wrong? What would be wrong if I drank this on stage? And here, let me just ease some of your tension. I'm not going to drink it, okay? I'm not going to drink it right now. Because here's what I know. It would bother some of you. It would bother some of you enough to go home and explain to your parents what happened. I would get emails. I would get phone calls. People would be all upset because the pastor drank a beer on stage. But really, what's wrong with that? it's confusing because we feel this tension. Many of you feel a tension. Some of you really want me to drink it because you think that would be really cool. It's got a powerful impact, whereas if I had a Coke or a Sprite, you'd be like, who cares? Put it down. It's distracting. But when there's a beer, you're like, that's interesting that the pastor has a beer. He's taking pictures. He's posting them. Hey, I go to a cool church. So I'm going to put the beer down. But man, it is so powerful. And so what is so bad about this thing? You see, we live in a world that's filled with alcohol. We're surrounded by it. And listen, if we're honest, the advertisements and the stories that we hear, it's attractive, maybe a little bit attractive, maybe a lot attractive. You see, we know it's dangerous because it's not allowed when you're under 21, but that kind of adds to the cool factor of it, the risk that would be involved. We know we can't have it. For that reason, we want it. We see it as something that could or does make life more fun. But churches and Christians, like people in this room and people like me, we have this reputation for having this opinion that alcohol is bad. I mean, the general stereotype is this, that good Christian kids judge kids who drink alcohol. And they even judge kids and call kids bad kids, even if they're rumored to drink alcohol. And even some of you guys, if your Christian parents have a glass of wine or drink a beer every once in a while, it would throw you off if you saw me do the same thing. There's kind of a double standard, even in your own minds. Whereas if you saw me drink a beer, but you saw your dad drink a beer an hour ago at dinner, there's some tension in you that exists. And so why is that? That's what tonight is about. Where does that come from? And is that perception accurate? I mean, if there is something so bad about alcohol, what is so bad about alcohol? And here's why this is so important for every single one of you to hear. If you haven't picked up on it already, here's why this is important, is that you all, every one of us, don't go to that yet. You all will have a moment or multiple moments, or some of you, a continuous stream of moments in your life where you will come face to face with alcohol. You will have an offer. You'll have an opportunity. Your parents go away and it's available. You'll have a thought. You'll have the temptation. Every single one of us will experience that. Maybe it'll just be one time, but odds are it will be multiple times. And some of you, it will be persistent and consistent. Now, maybe not while you're in high school, definitely when you're in college, and definitely after. And so we all will have these moments, and how you respond in that moment will say something about you and say something about your faith. So here's the big idea that we're going to build off of tonight is that your response to alcohol, the way you respond when you see this pulled out at church and opened, the way you respond when you're at a party and somebody hands you a red Solo cup and there's alcohol in it, the way you respond when your parents are out of town and you're tempted just to try it, the way you respond when you're at a wedding and there's a champagne toast and they're handing it out to everybody regardless of your age, your response in each situation when you're face-to-face with alcohol will reveal what you believe in your heart about God. And what you believe in your heart about God is the single most important thing about you. It's the most important thing about you. And it shows up. Your response to alcohol will reveal what you really believe in your heart about God. Either you believe there is a God and he has a standard that is good and trustworthy, or maybe you believe there is a God, but he's out of touch with reality, and he can't be trusted, and you're not sure he's good. Or maybe it reveals that you don't believe there's a God that exists at all. But do you know, and do you care, and do you trust what God says about this substance known as alcohol? So here's what I'm going to do as a minister to young people tonight. I'm going to open up God's word, and I'm going to give you a vast overview of what the Bible says about alcohol. And we're going to summarize it like this, building on this main point that we're going to come back to at the end, that your response to alcohol reveals what you believe in your heart about God. I'm going to share with you, and you can wrestle with whether or not you believe this, four truths about God and alcohol. So if you're taking notes, this is a very simple outline. It is four truths about God and alcohol, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. So let me encourage you, if you don't have a journal, take out your phone and take notes of these four things and write the scripture references, just the verse, like where it's found. Don't try to write the whole thing down. You won't be able to keep up because I'm going to give you a lot of God's word. This is not David Peniel's opinion tonight. This is the truth from the Bible. So here we go. Four truths about God and alcohol. What you do with these four statements will reveal what you believe about God. This is huge. Here's the first truth. God gives us alcohol. All right, I'm going to prepare you for this. At some point, you're going to be identified by someone else as a Christian and someone who's smart and knows the Bible. Maybe they've grown up in church, but now they're just going their own way. They're going to tell you, God's not against alcohol. You know God created alcohol. You know Jesus turned water into wine. God is for alcohol. I don't know why you're saying no. Here, try it. Join us. They're going to use the Bible as leverage to get you to drink alcohol. So you need to know this. What does the Bible actually say? I'm going to show you four passages. You need to write these down and be aware of them. Look at what Ecclesiastes 9:7 says. Go eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Look at that. God gave us food, he gave us wine, and then he says, go eat it, drink it with gladness and a joyful heart, for God has already approved. God approves of this. He made wine. He approves of you drinking it. Look at what the Psalms say in Psalm 104. Psalm 104, 14 and 15 says, he, that's God, makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for the people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. He brings forth wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. So God gives us alcohol to gladden human hearts. Look at what Jesus did in John chapter 2. Jesus said to his servants, fill the jars with water, so they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. So Jesus was at a wedding. You know the story. They ran out of wine, so he filled jars with water, and he turned it into wine for the guests. God gives us alcohol. Jesus himself gave his friends and family alcohol. And then one more, the Apostle Paul, writing to a young pastor named Timothy, told him, stop drinking only water, all right? Get off the whole 30 and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illnesses. He was getting sick to his stomach. There was bacteria. And he said, hey, drink some wine. That will help you with the bacteria. So the Apostle Paul commands a young pastor named Timothy, drink some wine. God gives us alcohol. I was tempted to make this first point, God wants us to enjoy alcohol. But I knew that you would take that and probably run with it the wrong way, and you'd be like, oh, well, in that case, give me two, and just like drink them both at the same time. But this is true. God has given us alcohol. I want you all to understand that is true and not live in denial, like somehow Satan created something, that God created everything, and there's this one thing that Satan created, and it's the greatest evil that's ever walked the earth. It's not. But there are four truths about God and alcohol that we need to understand, and if you left the room right now and this was the only one you understood, I'm afraid that you would be lost in error because you would not understand the full counsel of God's word. So the first thing you need to know about God and alcohol is that God gives us alcohol. The second one is this: God gives us authority. God gives us authority. God has created an order and a structure to life in order to protect us and to care for us and to guide us towards a true and healthy life. And so here's what the scriptures say about authority. Let's look at Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Paul said, the author here says, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good. Now, what does this have to do with alcohol, the fact that God gives us authority? We've already talked about this. There is a legal drinking age in the United States and in the state of Texas. And so God has said, hey, here's alcohol. It is something that I have created, and there are good ways to use it. But to govern its usage, I am going to establish a system of authority. in every nation on this earth to protect and care for its people and to establish laws. And I'm going to command my people in the word to be subject to the rulers and authorities and to be obedient and ready to do whatever is good. Romans 13 says it this way. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. If we move on to Colossians 3:2, there's another form of authority. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And then we see that echoed in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. So four truths about God and alcohol. One, God gives us alcohol, but God doesn't just give us alcohol and say, hey, do with it whatever you want, have a blast, rock and roll. No, he gives us authority to govern it. Not only the drinking age, but also where, if you're over 21, where you're allowed to have an open container. You can't drive with an open container of alcohol. And how much alcohol you're allowed to consume and then interact with the world. Public intoxication is illegal. Driving under the influence is illegal. God has given us authority to govern our usage of the alcohol that he has given us. And thirdly, God has given us each other. Now, I'm just going to give you one passage here, but it's longer, and I want you to jot it down and pay attention to it. This is from Romans chapter 14. And this is why, even though it's not against the law for me and I wouldn't get drunk, this is why I didn't drink this here tonight. This passage is why, if I go to a Rangers game this summer, I'm not going to order a beer and drink a beer. And so let me explain this to you. Here's what Romans 14 says. We'll read it and I'll explain it as we go. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind, pay attention to this part, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. Don't cause other people to stumble. So here's why I won't have a beer at the Rangers game, and then I'm going to go through the rest of this passage. See, I know enough of you, and I know many of your stories. And I know that there are some people who live in a home where alcohol is constantly abused. I talk to people on a regular basis who have a lot of fear and anxiety about going into their home because they don't know how their parents are going to be acting. I know kids who have had to call 911 because of how drunk and intoxicated their parent is in the home. There's abuse that happens. There's violence that happens. And alcohol, any usage or observation of alcohol is associated in their minds and hearts with that activity. So it causes a division. It puts a stumbling block between me and that person in our relationship because they don't know if I'm abusing alcohol the way their parent is abusing alcohol because that is their only context and understanding of alcohol is misuse and then abuse. That comes from it. Also, I know what I said at the beginning, that there's this temptation to believe, oh, life is more fun with alcohol. Hey, it's wrong. Rebelling is really cool and fun. Everyone's doing it. Their life seems to be better and more fun. I want to fit in. I know all the temptations that teenagers face when it comes to alcohol. And I know you're just looking for a reason to try it and do it. And so I know that if you were at the Rangers game or you had the game on TV and the camera panned over to me and you saw the youth pastor drinking a beer, that could just be the thing you needed to go, hey, now I have a license to drink because he's drinking. He's somebody that my parents told me to follow his example. And so if he does it, it should be okay for me to do it. And so I don't want to put a stumbling block in your way. In the same way, many of you young people, you are Christian leaders in your friend groups and in your schools and even with your siblings. And anything you do with alcohol, maybe you do it in moderation. Others might do in excess and abuse. And so you have to be careful and make up your mind. This applies to you when you're a 21-year-old in a fraternity or a sorority in college. This applies to you when you go to Texas A&M Whoop and you get your Aggie ring and you're over 21 and everyone's drinking their Aggie ring out of a pitcher of beer. Is doing that putting a stumbling block or obstacle in someone else's way is that discouraging them in their relationship with God. So here's what Paul goes on to say in verse 14, right there in the middle. I'm convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. Here's what that means. Nothing's unclean. Alcohol is a gift from God. Everything, every type of food, every type of drink is a gift from God. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then it, for that person, it is unclean. So if your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you're no longer acting in love. You see, I want to love you more than I love a beer. I want to love you more than I love a glass of wine or a margarita at a Mexican restaurant or whatever it is. I don't want to cause you to stumble. I don't want you to be confused. I don't want you to fear me or be concerned for me. And so I don't want to stress anyone out with what I eat or drink. Now, he's talking about eating because he's talking about food sacrificed to idols, but it applies very much to the way we view alcohol here in our culture. So he says, do not by your eating destroy someone for whom Christ died. And then he goes on. Let's finish the passage. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. So he's restating his case again to make sure you get it. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good and build them up. And so what does this passage show us? It shows us that God doesn't just give us alcohol. He doesn't just give us authority and say, follow these rules. He gives us each other. There's an accountability to living in a community of people and representing ourselves in a way that we always are encouraging and building up and not tempting and leading astray others. And so what's the fourth thing about God and alcohol that we all need to understand tonight? The fourth thing is this: God gives us wisdom. He gives us alcohol, he gives us authority, he gives us each other, but he also just gives us plain old common sense and wisdom. Look at what Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 20 say. We're gonna look at the first three verses now and then the last two later. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Now, what is he talking about? Being wise and unwise, not being foolish? Here's what he's talking about. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. You see, right now, up until now, we've mostly just been talking about having one drink. But in the law related to that and the temptation or causing others to stumble related to that, now we're talking about having more than one drink. We're talking about getting drunk. And this is just a very simple principle that God gives to us here in Ephesians 5 that I think you all should understand, but I'm going to state it clearly to make sure you do. Getting drunk is not wise. It leads to debauchery. And I know debauchery is a word that you guys all use today, probably. You use it all the time. You're like, oh, man, let's not get debauched this weekend. You're always talking about debauchery. Let me define it for you so we're all on the same page. Debauchery is a Greek word, asotia, and it means this: extreme indulgence that leads to a loss of control. And my friends, we all know this. It is never wise to be out of control. You see, when you get drunk, you lose control. You lose control of your speech. You lose control of your mobility. You lose control of your decision-making. You lose control of your memory. You lose control of your possessions. You lose control of your relationships. And God wants to keep you from losing control, because you know what happens when you lose control of these things? It leads to disaster. We all know this. You lose control of your car, what is the result? An accident, a disaster, a huge pain. You lose control of an illness, it gets out of control, you don't start managing it early enough, it leads to suffering, it leads to death. You lose control of your mouth, you call your teacher fat, you tell your mom off, it gets you into trouble. The result of loss of control is disaster. If you lose control of your bowels, it's a huge mess. You know what I mean. You've been there. You lose control of anything, the result is disaster. Guys, let me make this point. Do you guys understand that there is a God who has given you alcohol. He has given you authority. There's a God who has given you each other. And there's a God who has given you wisdom because he loves you. He wants you to enjoy your life, and disaster is not enjoyable. So God cares for you. He wants to protect you. He wants to guide you towards full life and protect you from disaster. Let me give you some examples of disaster that come with alcohol. See if these sound familiar for you or any of your peers. You lose control from alcohol, you get the disaster of a reputation. Some people have a reputation when they're drinking of being annoying, being angry, being dangerous, being gross, being irresponsible, being hurtful or inappropriate. You get that reputation when you lose control. You don't control your reputation anymore. Here's a disaster. You get into trouble. You get arrested. You get grounded. You get in fights. You get involved in violence. Alcohol can be a gateway drug that leads to other drugs that are more dangerous, get you into more trouble. It can lead to addiction. Some of you guys are genetically prone to alcoholism. It runs in your family. The loss of control can lead to that addiction that derails your entire life. Here's another example of disaster. You lose control enough that you make yourself vulnerable to being taken advantage of or abused by someone else, either physically or sexually. The loss of control can get you into an accident. You guys have all had the day at your school when they bring out the crashed car and they do a fake, you know, drunk driving accident, and there's helicopters flying over and the police are out and the fire department's there. And like, who's watching all the bad guys? Why are you all here at our school? But you've had those days. So you understand the potential consequence of a loss of control. Loss of control can lead to injury or death. And God loves you. And so he's given you wisdom. And he said, don't live as unwise. Be wise. Be wise. So, what do we do with all this? I mean, what really is so bad about alcohol? And then how do we apply all this stuff? Remember what we said at the beginning. Your response to alcohol will reveal what you believe in your heart about God. And so I think everyone in this room should ask yourself the question, how should I respond to alcohol? And every single one of you is in a different situation. Some of you are in a home that is filled with alcohol. Some of you, there's never been alcohol in your home. You've never seen your parents drink one time. Some of you, all of your friends, that's all they're trying to do is, where can we get alcohol? Where can we get the most of it? Where can we get the cheapest? How can we hide it? Where can we consume it? And how often can we do it? Some of you, that's just the world that you live in. And some of you have never had a friend offer you alcohol. But each of you, regardless of your circumstance, you will come face to face with alcohol at some point. And it might be later tonight, and it might be in 5 years. But you've got to plan and think through, what is my response going to be? And then what does it reveal in my heart about God? And so here's what I'm going to do. I'm cautious to do this, but here's how we're going to wrap up. I'm going to put a little chart up on the screen. And it's going to be small. It's going to be hard for you to see. Maybe try to take a picture of it. If you want, you can text me later and I can send it to you. But this is a chart of potential responses to alcohol and what those responses reveal. So on the left side, you have responses that reveal, I trust God. On the right side, you have responses that reveal that you don't trust God. All right, so here they are. I'm going to walk you through it because I'm going to show you practically how I believe you can honor God with your response to alcohol at any age. All right, it doesn't matter if you're over 21, under 21. If you don't drink out of submission to authority, you are showing that you trust God because you believe God has given you authority. If you don't drink to avoid knowingly causing others to stumble, if you choose not to drink, you are honoring God. Now, at any age, if you get drunk, I believe that doesn't honor God and the wisdom that he has revealed to us in Ephesians chapter 5, which says, don't get drunk. So at any age, doesn't matter, you're over 21, under, you get drunk, you drink and lose control, you're showing that you don't trust God. At any age, if you choose not to drink, believing that alcohol is evil, you're not honoring God, because point number one says God gives us alcohol. Let me give you an example of this, because I think this could be really helpful for some of you good Christian kids. This is crazy because it only happened a few years ago. Before I was married, I went to a Christmas party at this girl's house named Allison Lamb, who is now Allison Peniel, but we weren't even dating at the point. She was a volunteer small group leader in the student ministry. And we went, I went over to a Christmas party at her house, and they were serving dinner for about 30 of her friends. And we sat down, and the dinner was wonderful, and they brought out and served everybody wine. And so they're serving wine at this party. No one got drunk. Everybody's over 21 and they're drinking wine. And the next day after the Christmas party, I called up Braun and actually met with him at the office. Braun is my boss. And I set him down and I said, hey, I've got something I need to talk to you about. I think we're going to have to fire one of our small group leaders. And he was like, oh no, you know what happened? And I was like, well, it's Allie. You know Allie? He's like, yeah, I know Allie. I was like, I went to a Christmas party at her apartment and she served wine. All the people. And Braun was like, and? And I was like, well, didn't you hear me? That's alcohol. And she gave it to people. And he was like, so were people like hanging from the chandelier, drunk, you know, puking off the balcony? No, no one was drunk, but she served, are you hearing me? She served wine. And he was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, wine is bad. Because I was a good Christian kid. I grew up, we never had alcohol in our house. And I judged and I thought anyone who ever had alcohol was dangerous and bad. That's what I was taught. That's how I lived. And sadly, that's who I was at that point. And Braun said, hey, you have got to know the scriptures that I taught you with point one tonight. And you've got to understand that God created alcohol. And alcohol in and of itself is not evil. And God has given us authority. God has given us each other. God has given us wisdom. And Allie, with that group of people that was there, she didn't violate any of those things. And so we're not firing her. We might fire you because you're a judgmental idiot. And so I had to repent because my heart was not trusting God. See, I was taking control of the situation and creating my own rules. And that's just as wicked as rebelling against God's rules. All right, let's talk about if you're under 21, things you could do that reveal you trust God. Don't drink without a parent's approval and presence because it's against the law. You understand this? It is against the law for you to drink alcohol under the age of 21 without your parents' approval or presence. But look at the one right under it. You can have a drink of alcohol with your parents' approval and their presence, so you have to be with your parents without getting drunk and without causing others to stumble. So you understand this. At a family gathering, I have a niece. Her name's Maddie. She's on staff at Camp Barnabas. She'll be with us this summer. She's over 21 now. But when she was 18, her parents would let her have a glass of wine at Thanksgiving dinner. And that is not against the law. It's just the family there. She had one glass, never got drunk, and she didn't cause any of her friends to stumble. She wasn't live streaming it on Instagram or sending Snapchats to her friends being like, look at me partying. She wasn't showing off. She wasn't causing others to question what was going on. That was totally okay. She honored and trusted God in that. Now let's talk about how you can reveal that you don't trust God. You can drink without your parents' approval or presence. Any drink without your parents' approval or presence. You can drink with your parents' approval and presence without getting drunk, but knowingly cause others to stumble. You can show off. You can brag about it. You can talk about, yeah, I was at this wedding and my parents let me have champagne, and you can think that's super cool, and you can cause other people to stumble by telling that story. And so it is very tricky right there under 21 evaluating, hey man, what is showing that I trust God in my heart and what's revealing that I don't? And lastly, this is down the road, but man, when you're over 21, drink without getting drunk, without knowingly causing others to stumble, that's okay. So listen, if I'm at my house tonight and I have one of these and I drink it and it's not causing you to stumble, it's not causing you to gasp, it's not confusing you in any way, like I'm revealing that I trust God. He's given us alcohol. I'm under authority. I'm not causing others to stumble and I'm not getting drunk. I'm operating in wisdom. I'm trusting God and I'm honoring him in that. But if I'm over 21 and I drink without getting drunk but knowingly cause others to stumble, that's a problem. If I have that beer at the Rangers game, and I cause somebody to say, I'm never going to that church because I saw that pastor drinking a beer, and maybe I was just having so much fun they thought I was drunk. That's a problem. I'm revealing that I don't trust God because I'm not believing that he's given us other people, and I'm not operating for their good instead of my own. So there's a list of all the scriptures, and then I want to close with this question. How should you respond to alcohol? And I really want to caution you. The answer to this question is not just refer to David's chart, and if I do what's on the chart, then I'm a good person. Now, the answer is this, because you're going to come up to circumstances that don't fit in that chart. You walk in God's Spirit with God's people every day of your life. So let's go back to Ephesians 5. We already looked at verses 15, 16, 17, and 18 that says, be careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Well, then what do I do? Here's what you do instead. Instead, be filled with a chart that shows you what to do. That's not what this says. Be filled with the Spirit. You walk with God. You dwell with him. You seek him every moment of every day of your life, and then you speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. You live in community with other Christians who are reminding you and encouraging you of truth. So you sing and make music from your heart like we did tonight together to the Lord, and you always give thanks to God the Father for everything, even for alcohol. It's not evil. You can give thanks to him for that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you walk in God's Spirit with God's people. How should you respond to alcohol? Walk in God's Spirit with God's people. This is a matter of Christian conscience and Christian community. So here's what I want you to do as you walk out of here. I said at the beginning, we will all have a moment or multiple moments or a constant stream of moments during some seasons of your life when we are presented face to face with alcohol. And so here's what I want to challenge each of you to do. Imagine what those moments will be, whether it's an invitation to a party, whether it's an offer, whether it's you alone in the quietness of your house, and you're just tempted to open up that cabinet and try it. I want to challenge everyone in here to rehearse your response. Your response reveals what you believe in your heart about God. And rehearse what your responses will be. And it's kind of cheesy, but play out the scenarios in your mind. That's what I do. If I'm going out to dinner, I'm going to think through, all right, if I'm with a group of people and everybody orders alcohol and they're like, oh, are you not getting anything? What am I going to say? Are you going to say, man, hey, I'm a Christian and I believe God has given us alcohol as a gift. I do. I believe it's a good thing. But I also believe God's given us authority. He's given us each other. And he's given us wisdom. And right now, I just don't think it's wise and honoring to other people in this restaurant if I were to have a drink. But you know what? You're over 21, and you're not a pastor at a church. And so hey, I'm not judging you. That's fine, because I believe alcohol is a gift. Like, I have my responses rehearsed. Do you have yours? Because you're not a youth pastor. You're a high school kid. Your family's different than mine. Your family's different than everybody else in the room. And so you've got to think through and play these out because you're going to come face to face with this in high school. So what's so bad about alcohol? Not much, other than it's frequently abused. And our response to it can prove that we don't know God or that we don't trust God. All right? Let me close in prayer and then we'll get out of here to Torchies. Lord, I pray that this truth would sink in, that it would be memorable, that we would understand these four truths about God and alcohol, and that we would have the wisdom and the courage and the support of others in our life to prepare responses according to your word that show that we trust you. And I pray that you would honor and bless and encourage and strongly support students in this room that choose to go against the flow of their culture in many circumstances in the way they interact with and treat and respond to alcohol. I pray they would do it in a way that blesses their life, but honors you and points others towards you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.